Welcome to the Nation Magazine Podcasts. You're listening to Nation Conversations, exclusive audio of Nation forums, events, seminars, and salons.
I'm Betsy Reed, Executive Editor of The Nation, and I'm speaking today with Astra Taylor, who's written a piece in this week's issue of The Nation called Occupy 2.0, Strike Debt. In it, Astra reflects on the question that I think is on a lot of people's minds, which is, you know, it's been a year since the activists famously descended on Zuccotti Park and seized the sort of the nation's attention and then the world's attention, but really have sort of faded from view in recent months. Although, as you, Astra, explain in your piece, that doesn't mean that there hasn't been a lot going on. So will you tell us how the movement has sort of evolved and what is it focusing on these days?
Yeah, the movement has evolved in a lot of interesting ways. Obviously, it's less visible than it was when there were hundreds of encampments springing up all over the country, but Occupy Wall Street is arguably doing better work at a grassroots level. So a group of activists in New York City have started to settle on the theme of debt and looking at the way debt actually unites the different battles that are going on under the umbrella of Occupy right now.
So what is it about debt that has really brought together? You write in the piece that it has provided a sort of unifying structure for a lot of the energy that went into Occupy. But what is it about debt that has had that effect?
Well, one thing activists are saying now is that debt is the tie that binds the 99%. And I think that that's a really, it's a really good way to articulate the thinking that's going into this. Whether you are a student who's paying hundreds of dollars in interest on your student loans, or you're a homeowner who is in underwater with your mortgage, or whether you are a citizen of a town that's having their budgets cut because your city doesn't have money because your municipality is broke, debt is something that affects everybody, even if you're not individually in the red. And so the idea is that, you know, obviously debt is a very powerful issue. That's why the right, you know, has taken it up as a theme when they talk about the deficit and things like that. So the idea is that debt is the tie that binds the 99%, and that we need to start organizing around the thing that people feel very personally and inspire them to move to the political.
So there was actually an attempt several months ago to get people to sign a pledge to essentially go on strike, right, and not pay their debt. And there was an attempt to get, you know, a million people to sign this. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Strike debt emerged out of a series of open assemblies that started actually in May in Washington Square Park. And they were very reminiscent of actually the assemblies that happened last August that led to Occupy Wall Street and the occupation of Zuccotti Park and occupations beyond. So there were these open assemblies, and after two or three of them, they did one that had the theme of debt. And many of the people who attended this assembly, this assembly had a sort of magic spark. There was something there. People really wanted to talk about debt as an issue. And many of the people there had been involved in the Occupy Student Debt campaign, which had started the previous fall. Occupy Student Debt campaign really had two main projects. One was calling attention to what they called 1T Day, which was the day when student loan indebtedness reached $1 trillion in this country, the sort of epic marker of how buried young people are by student debt right now. And the other thing they did was release a pledge, and the idea was that when 1 million people sign the pledge, people would stop paying. Because it's very risky to simply stop paying by yourself, because you'll be charged extra fees for being delinquent, or if you go into default, depending on what kind of debt you have. If you have student loan debt, you know, they'll garnish your wages or your Social Security or tax returns. It's very draconian. So the idea was, we need to have collective action. This is not something that can be solved at the level of the individual refusing to pay. And the pledge got a lot of attention, but it didn't get a million signers. And so strike debt, in a way, was born out of this failure, and the failure really drove home the fact that an online petition is not enough. That's not how you build a movement. B, that you can't simply build a movement by asking people, you know, not to pay or even not to pay down the road. You have to do something constructive. You have to build alternatives in the here and now that can help them take on these risks. So one thing I didn't get into in the piece is that Strike Debt is looking at the people who are already not paying, and that's millions and millions of students who are in default, homeowners who are, you know, going into foreclosure. There are already millions of people who, it's not that they're making the conscious political choice not to pay, but they can't pay because of necessity, and the challenge might be to politicize that, the fact that they can't pay, and to show them that that's not something they should be ashamed of, that's something that they should organize around.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the hurdles that you face? And you talk in the piece about how we need to kind of rethink the morality of debt. How do you do that? How do you help people, you know, move from feeling personally guilty because they have debt to developing more of a collective and political critique of the system of debt?
Right. I mean, one of the most powerful things for me in the early days of Occupy at the camp at Zuccotti Park in New York City, I think it was maybe day three or four, and I walked up, and I was, of course, just shocked to see that there were still hundreds and hundreds of people there. And this young man was sort of yelling like a carnival barker, step right up and tell and write down what you owe. What are you worth to the 1%? And all of these people were coming forward and writing on these huge sheets of paper their name and their debt. And I walked by it, and I sort of glanced, and there were dozens and dozens of names. And some people, you know, had quite huge numbers. You know, they'd say $40,000 of student loans, or $60,000 of medical debt, or $200,000 of medical debt. And I actually felt this bit of resistance about going up there and writing my own debt, which at the time I had about $45,000 in student loans. And I finally, you know, sort of got the courage and wrote it down. Partly it was just that facing that number was so overwhelming, because that's just my principal. It's not, you know, what I'll pay in interest over 30 years. And I remember the girl behind me who must have been, you know, early 20s, wrote down $120,000 in student loans. And I remember thinking, this is powerful. People are coming forward, and we're all, even just this act of writing this on these large pieces of paper, we're taking this first step from the personal to the political. There's so much shame. You think that, well, I must not be managing my finances correctly. I must have done something wrong. You know, I let my health care lapse, so I'm in debt. Or I made the wrong choice and chose the wrong major, therefore I can't pay back my student loans. We're not aware of the fact that, you know, there was a concerted effort, for example, to make student loans non-dischargeable in recent decades. So you can't declare bankruptcy the way you can with other kinds of debt. We're not aware of the fact that, you know, our medical debt is directly, you know, tied to the fact that people have been fighting against universal health insurance. So I think it's that it's making those connections, and there is a lot of shame, a lot of resistance to doing that. And I think Strike Debt has a very Strike Debt, which is an initiative of Occupy Wall Street, has the power to take this conversation to the next level. I think people are really ready. Americans are drowning in debt. Students are finally feeling completely hopeless about their prospects because we've got student loan debt and then high unemployment for young people. Healthcare reform is not coming at the right people need. So I think it's a really powerful moment to bring these issues to the fore.
Nation Conversations is a product of The Nation magazine and is available on iTunes. You can hear more podcasts at thenation.com/audio. Thanks for listening.